Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8, though we're not actually going to spend much time there at this moment. We'll be coming back to it. Joshua chapter 8, and just kind of getting the lay of the land a little bit and remembering where we were this morning and where our reading this week has taken us. With the children of Israel as they have come into the promised land, made it through Jericho, did what God said, everything worked well there. And then they go on to Ai and things did not go so well there. There was sin in the camp and that had to be dealt with. And we studied and we talked about that this morning. And when they did what God expected them to do and they dealt with that problem, then they went in and they destroyed Ai and they moved on in. Further into the promised land. And in the latter part of chapter 8, we find them at Mount Ebal and renewing the covenant with God there. Now, we just say these things to kind of put some things in mind to try to make the point and some distinction here of God's very clear and unmistakable instructions. But it goes back prior to what we're reading here in Joshua chapter 8. But let's think about this point for just a moment. Instructions given by God so often are specific and leave no room for question. When God says something, it's clear, and we are not in a position to question what He's saying. And Moses, in his final words to his people, his days are drawing to an end now, basically repeats in Deuteronomy all that God has said to them, you know, during the days of leaving Egypt and the wilderness wanderings. You know, if you don't read the earlier books, the Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you just read Deuteronomy, you get a pretty good idea of the events that took place in those other books. And so even though God had already said these things, Moses repeats them. Because there is the need of repeating. There's the need of emphasis. There is the need of making everything clear and unmistakable. You know, just like I feel a little bit like this lesson is repeating a lot of what I've already preached many times, Moses went to great lengths to do just that, to repeat the obvious. But there was a reason. He knew these people. He understood these people. He knew their propensity of not remembering what God said and going on their own way. And there are some instructions that we just cannot afford to get wrong. A lot of years ago, I was a rookie firefighter. And at the station in Michigan that I was a part of, the city we lived in, we took turns doing dispatch. We had to do our own dispatching. And so, you know, radio etiquette was something that was taught. And one thing that was kind of preached is that what you say has to be very clear. Try to say it one time and say it clear. Well, I don't know that we really did that as well as we should. There was another guy that moved into town that had some fire department experience, and he was a good dispatcher, we learned. And so he started doing a lot of the radio stuff. His name was Greg. I remember that. It was about 100 years ago. But I remember his name was Greg, and he was meticulous about repeating radio traffic. So like radio traffic, you know, we ran EMS and stuff like that, and ambulance goes out, ambulance gets on scene. A lot of times you would just hear 201 on scene. That's all that was said. And often we would just say 201. You're acknowledging, you know, we heard. But Greg wasn't like that. I mean, he would say 201 on scene. I understand, 201 is on scene at 445 South Main. Wow, where did that all come from? You know, we all just said 201 or Unit 200 or whoever we were talking to. And we kind of made fun of him. You know, it's like, wow, man, you're putting a lot of words out there. But he was very precise about that. And it was always, I understand, 201, or I understand, Unit 22, I understand. And we just ribbed him about that. You know, in 6 months, we were all saying that. I mean, because we had so many times where, you know, we would hear a radio traffic, and I remember saying, 201, repeat your traffic. I didn't understand what they said. It was very quick, and which a lot of times it has to be that way. But we had gotten really sloppy about radio traffic, and Greg straightened us out. And the idea was clear and unmistakable communication. Do you see that with God? Clear and unmistakable communication. There will not be a day when we stand before the Lord and we can say, but I didn't understand what you meant. And that's, we may say a lot of things, but that will not be one that will work, I'm sure. Clear and understandable instructions. There are some things that bear repeating. And Moses did that a lot. And as we've read through, you know, the first five books penned by Moses, we see that, you know, it, particularly dealing with the children of Israel. It's like he just repeats a lot. There's a reason for that. There was the need for that. In that God requires of us complete obedience. His words are specific, and there is no room for us to question his words. But this much for sure, we better understand what he said, and we can. And I think that's part of what Moses was trying to say, that he was trying to make clear, is that God's words are very specific, and we can understand them. You know, if we go back to Deuteronomy, we're coming back to Joshua 8. That's where we're landing at the end. But if we were to go back in the book of Deuteronomy, to chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Deuteronomy is what we want. Just a reminder from chapter 10, verse 1. At that time the Lord said to me, that is to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first one and come up to me on the mountain. You know, we remember the tablets. Specifically, God said what was to go on those tablets and in his word. In chapter 11 of Deuteronomy, As Moses is repeating all of these things to the children of Israel, verse 1. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Remember today that your children are not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country, what he did to the Egyptian army and to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them in the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you. And Moses goes on here just to kind of explain, Remember these things, and remember that your children weren't there. And he was speaking to some now who were under 20 years old when they went into the wilderness and who have survived the wilderness and are now about to cross into the promised land. Moses is reminding them of things that hopefully they remember. But now, not only is he calling these things to their remembrance, but saying, you know, your children won't know about these things unless you tell them. And Moses is writing those things down as well. Same chapter, verse 8. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, from where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. In it is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to the end. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I mean, he makes them recall things were pretty rough back in Egypt. Things did not come easy there. But the land to which you are going, that God is giving you, is a wonderful land that drinks in rain from heaven. Isn't that a beautiful thought? I mean, it's talking about God's care for this land. and how wonderful it should be. Read a little more, verse 13. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its seasons, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Again, the picture being one that's very beautiful. You know, it's a land of plenty, a land of wealth, a land that will provide for all of them. Verse 16, be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and He will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land that the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit down at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. So there's warnings that go with this too. The land that God is giving is a land of plenty. You know, he brings the rains forward. He refreshes the ground. It will produce all that you need. But there is that caveat. If you forget who God is, if you are enticed to turn to the gods of that land, if you forget Jehovah God, He will forget you. I mean, how many times as we've been reading through this narrative, how many times have we read the same type thing as we're going through? There's a reason that Moses is repeating these things, or perhaps more accurately, we should say there is a reason why God is repeating these things over and over and over. And so Moses spoke again here as his days are nearing an end. He spoke again about observing God's laws with an emphasis on one's heart. He said that here in chapter 11, you know, the need of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind. We fast forward a little bit to chapter 26. And in chapter 26, beginning in verse 16, the Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws, carefully observe them with all your heart, with all your soul. You have declared this day that the Lord is your God and that you will walk in His ways, that you will keep His decrees, commands, and laws, and that you will obey Him. And the Lord has declared this day that you are His people, His treasured possession, as He promised, and that you are to keep all His commands. He has declared that He will set you in praise, fame, and honor high above all the nations He has made, and that you will be a people holy to the Lord your God, as He promised. I mean, this goes back to Mount Sinai, Exodus chapter 19, and the promises that God made to Israel back then about this very special relationship that would be had between Israel and Jehovah God. And so He made those promises. Oh, it's been 40 years now. It has been a period of time. But now things have come about where here they are, you know, as they have crossed into the land. And they are about to, perhaps we could say, like, renew this covenant with God. And so these words of reminder have been made. And again, Moses is saying, follow the laws and the decrees of God and observe them with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the Lord has declared this day that you are His people. So there is this ratification of this covenant being reaffirmed here again. And it has something to do with where they're going to be going in the land. You know, some things that are soon to take place. And the reminder of this relationship with God, and then how He's going to set you high above all the other nations, and that you will receive honor that other nations don't know because you are the people of Jehovah God. This is incredible. You know, that what God is saying to them. But again, he gives these instructions that you have to remember these things when you cross over into the land. They haven't done that yet. They're getting ready to. And so these were important instructions in chapter 27. Here's something else the Lord said, you know, through Moses. Verse 1. Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, keep all these commandments that I give you today. And when you have crossed the Jordan into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Write on them all the words of this law, and when you have crossed over to enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you, and when you have crossed the Jordan, set up these stones on Mount Ebal, as I command you today, and coat them with plaster. Build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. Do not use any iron tool upon them. Build the altar of the Lord your God with field stones and offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. Sacrifice fellowship offerings there, eating them and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord your God. And you shall write very clearly all the words of this law on these stones you have set up. Don't forget any of these things. Don't forget one word of what the Lord has said. Because this is a very different, this is a special relationship. And for there to be a reminder, there is to be this altar. And there is to be, you know, carved into these stones all of the words of the Lord. You know, I wonder how many stones that would take. There are some that says, well, this is just figurative. Well, you know, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, there's some ancient manuscripts that have been found, and manuscripts might not be the right word, but writings that have been found in stones that are tablet after tablet after tablet. And perhaps that's exactly what the Lord is referring to here and what needed to happen. The point and the emphasis being is that, I mean, if they already had these words in other ways, why did they have to write them again? For emphasis. So that all could understand, so all could be reminded of everything that God said. So there could be no misunderstanding. No one could say, well, I didn't know. Well, the Lord wants us to do what? Well, I didn't know that. Everyone could know. Everyone could understand what the Lord said. So it's with some intensity here that Moses says to them, be silent, O Israel, and listen. See, in verse 9, you see that verse 9? Moses and the priest, who are Levites, said to all Israel, be silent, O Israel, and listen. You have now become the people of the Lord your God. Obey the Lord your God and follow his commands and decrees that I give you today. Sometimes, and we all still suffer with this malady, I think. Sometimes we fail to understand what we need to do because we're too busy talking and not listening. Or our minds are somewhere else and we're not listening. And here, God is saying through Moses, Israel, be quiet. Just listen. Because God did not fail to give the instructions. And they were supposed to stand out. If they followed those instructions, they would stand out. You have now become the people of the Lord your God. Think about what that should mean to them. Well, and even maybe we would say, think about what that should mean to us. I mean, today in this period of time, as disciples of Christ, we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. We have a very special relationship. And so standing on Mount Gerizim and on Mount Ebal, there were curses and blessings that could come. So before going into the land here in chapter 27, chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, in some ways, a little bit peculiar chapters, in that, as we read through them not long ago, you know, the idea of here is what everyone is to be reminded of when you enter into the land. When you come to the point of Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, which is past Jericho and past Ai and some distance to the north, this was where they needed to go to. This is where they needed to head, you know, for this, I say like a rededication of their commitment to the Lord. This is where they needed to go. And the Lord gave instructions on how the whole assembly of Israel was to come together. You know, we're talking of people more than a million, you know, in size. How can you assemble that many people anywhere? Well, the Lord had a place. The Lord is the maker of all things. He designed things to meet His needs. And there is a place where they could go, where His people could assemble and hear the curses and the blessings. Chapter 27 and chapter 28 are interesting in that regard. Chapter 27, verse 12, when you have crossed the Jordan, these tribes shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these tribes shall stand on Mount Ebal to pronounce curses, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And so there were two sides to be heard. And verse 14 says, the Levites shall recite to all the people of Israel in a loud voice. And then he starts giving the curses. Cursed is the man who carves an image or casts an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of the craftsman's hands, and sets it up in secret. Then all the people shall say, Amen. It certainly gives us the picture here that even though Israel was great in number, there was going to be the opportunity for all to hear the curses and the blessings, and should hear it well enough that they can respond to it by saying, Amen. I heard that. I heard what was said. And the same thing with the blessings that were to be pronounced. And so the Lord makes it very clear, there are curses and there are blessings. It all depends on how you live. And if you obey, the blessings, well, they were just incredible. When you read through chapter 28, the blessings that God was promising, incredible. And the curses, incredibly bad. I mean, scary when you read through the curses that the Lord was promising. And the sad commentary of this passage is that these curses eventually became very true with regard to the lives of the Israelites. So let's get our bearings for just a moment. So we've read recently here of crossing over the Jordan River, and they stopped at Gilgal, and then, of course, Jericho, and marching around the city, and the walls fell. Then we came to Ai. Did not work out like they first thought at Ai. Had sin in the camp. That had to be resolved. But then they defeated Ai. And then now they've come up to Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And this takes us more current time to our reading in Joshua chapter 8. This is where we are going. And so, now, where we first referenced in Joshua chapter 8. Let's look at verse 30, beginning Joshua chapter 8, verse 30. Then Joshua built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the Israelites. He built it according to what was written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no iron tool had been used. On it they offered the Lord burnt offerings and sacrificed fellowship offerings there. In the presence of the Israelites, Joshua copied on stones the law of Moses, which he had written. All Israel, aliens and citizens alike, with their elders, officials, and judges, were standing on both sides of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, facing those who carry it, the priests, who were Levites. Half of the people stood in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had formerly commanded when he gave instructions to bless the people of Israel. How did they know what to do? Clear and unmistakable instructions had been given. And so now we've come to that point where they're carrying out what Moses had said, what he had told them needed to be done. There's the altar, there's the burnt offerings, the sacrifice, the writing of the law on the stones. And we try to picture these things, where Joshua, in the presence of Israel, copied the law. There's an emphasis being made and given here. The Ark of the Covenant stood between the people and the mountains. And you can imagine the Levites standing around them and the people on the mountains here. And every word that Moses commanded, we've just seen, was read. I don't know how long that took, really. Every word that Moses commanded? Well, we've been reading for some time, haven't we? As we've been going through the narratives even. We've not been reading every word. We've skipped some. We're just reading the narratives as we go. It's taken a while to kind of get through these things. And so Joshua read, and the Levites recited the curses and the blessings, I'm sure, as instruction had been made and had been given. At Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. I know it didn't look like this in the day of the Israelites, but there was a city there at Shechem. It was a small place, kind of at the foothills of the mountains that were there. Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, only about 100-foot difference in the height of those mountains. And we try to get a picture in our mind of the children of Israel, you know, the hundreds of thousands, the million of them, however many there was, as they came to this place and these events took place. And so you had some tribes on Mount Ebal, and you had some tribes, the other half, on Mount Gerizim. This is standing on Mount Gerizim looking across to Mount Ebal. And you can see, you know, how it's kind of carved out in the middle. Well, Mount Gerizim's the same way if we were taking a picture back the other way. And it's kind of interesting that it's almost like a natural-made amphitheater. And this is where the children of Israel gathered, is down in between these two mountains. Now, I've read that there are some scientists that through the years have done some tests there before it was as built up as it is now, and the city was not near as large down the bottom. And that yes, very true, that the acoustics are such that in a very loud voice there could be sound that went to both sides of these mountains. And so when the Levites, and maybe that's why the Levites read together the curses, and in a loud voice was the instruction of Moses. Remember that the Levites were to say together the curses and then the blessings. And then the people, when they heard that, they would respond and shout amen. Can you hear the amen that would have echoed between the mountains as these things were being said, as these things were being read? See, it's right there where this event took place. And so we've kind of backed up and we've looked at this and we've reviewed some things to bring us up to this point, to understand in our reading, in our story here, where are the children of Israel now in our reading? It's right here. This is where they are at. And these are the events that are taking place. And they are, so to speak, reconsecrating their dedication to God, their covenant with Him. And now they have entered into the land, and it's sort of like they are establishing themselves in the land now as the people of God, the people that He recognizes as His own. It's interesting that hundreds of years before, it was here at Shechem that God promised Abraham he would give the land of Canaan to his descendants. See, it's not by chance that the children of Israel wind up back here at Shechem as they're coming into the land and as they are now taking the land. This is where it began, so to speak. This is where God spoke to Abraham and said, your descendants are going to come to this land. And here they are. They've come now to this place. Some things bear repeating. So there's no misunderstanding, but so that all instructions, directions are clear and unmistakable. And we find that there are a lot of things repeated in Scripture. There's a reason for that. God understands our nature. How prone we are to forget some things, to be drawn away by strange ideas, and that we need to be drawn back to Him. Nothing's changed in our day. Nothing's changed in our day. I mean, if we are to be the people of God, the source, that which will bring us close to Him, is still the same. It's still His Word. Jesus said it in such a very simple way in John chapter 8 when He said, if you continue in My words, then you will be My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's only when we hear and we understand and we obey the will and the Word of God that we can be the disciples of Christ that I think we all desire to be. And so we're back to the point we've made over and over again that we have to turn back to God's Word. Clear and unmistakable instructions. Let's remember that. Here we are starting another week. We've been blessed to come to the beginning of another week. And as we start the week, let's have these things in mind and dedicate ourselves again to the idea of wanting to know and follow just what God says, nothing more, nothing less. And if we do that, and if we are obedient to His will, we can be His people always, to the end of this life and in that which is to come. If there's anyone who needs to respond to the gospel, we hope you'll come. Come now as we stand and sing.